listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. I always start the shows by telling you folks that we are viewer-supported stations. If you appreciate what these people are doing and the work they put in behind the scenes, try and throw a couple bucks in the kitty. I know they would really, really appreciate it. I am joined with my good friend. I call him the Duracell Bunny, and of course we're talking about Roger Landry for the first hour here. Roger, it's been 3 weeks since we talked. I know a lot of things have happened in the last 3 weeks, and how are you doing, my friend, and welcome back. And I always like to put you on the spot. What's picking your butt the most this week, Roger, of all the things that are picking your butt? And I'm being politically correct with that, folks. Welcome back, Roger.
Well, let me see. We're looking at the depths of a civil war. It is in its it's seriously in its depth at this point. And everybody's scratching their head right about now and saying, well, what the hell is he talking about? There's no civil war going on, but actually there is. And what we are is we're the puppets. The non-consenting, uninformed, ignorant puppets. And I don't say ignorant in place of the word stupid. I use the word ignorant as in we don't have the knowledge, so we can't be aware. I'm talking about a civil war that is so big right now that we're seeing things happen that would never have happened for the last 50, 70, 80 years. Post-World War II era. We're seeing things happen right now that would have been impossible 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Absolutely impossible. And I don't care if you're talking about Canada or the United States. I don't. But I am referencing a lot of what I'm about to say to what's going on in the United States, because where goes, and I hate like hell to say that, but it's absolutely true in far too many circumstances. So what's civil war? Let's start off by discussing what civil war is Roger the Dodger talking about. And it's the Energizer Bunny. Why do you keep calling me the Duracell Bunny 1 week and the Energizer Bunny the next time?
Well, because they're now, both well, I've got to give them share airtime, you know, Roger. Okay. I don't want to be discriminating. Go ahead.
Oh, no. See, your patrons want you to talk more, so I just stopped right in the middle of this to give you a chance to say.
Well, no. I did. I said a couple things, Roger. I did. I actually got to say a couple things. Go ahead.
So what am I talking about when I say civil war? And yes, that was a really, really good place for a dramatic pause. Because you all know I don't say anything that I'm not willing to back up. And you also all know that every time I start doing this, I got a rough throat, so excuse my throat clearing. It's basically part of my curriculum. It's basically part of my repertoire. Okay. So the civil war I'm talking about is actually taking place within the elitist caste. The people who run this planet. the people who own this planet. That's where the Civil War is going on. And for anybody who doesn't believe it, let me ask you a question. What happened to the last president who decided he was going to criticize the Federal Reserve and maybe even take action? What happened to him?
That'd be John Kennedy.
He's dead, isn't he? Yep. How many presidents out there have been stupid enough to step up and tell everybody in the country that Big Pharma is lying to them, and Big Pharma is the most powerful single cabal on the planet, corporate cabal? The only thing more powerful is not actually a corporate cabal. It's more emperorship, and that's the people that own the banking industry. Okay? And then how many presidents out there threatened the military-industrial complex? Eisenhower warned us about it on his way out, okay? But it was bought and paid. And for anybody who doesn't understand, the pharmaceutical industry spends almost 500% more lobbying and owning our government than even the military-industrial complex does. So you got the banking industry at the top. Then you have, excuse me, the pharmaceutical industry, and below that you've got the military-industrial complex. There's a few other biggies in there, but those are the ones that you don't dare touch. What we have seen in the last month, most of it in the last 2 weeks, is Donald Trump standing up in front of the American people telling them again, although he did this months ago, that hydroxychloroquine works, and he takes it. And the pharmaceutical industry stands to lose between $200 and $500 billion.
Boy, they're not happy about that, Roger.
Then he stood up and said, I'm not going to have any more of this perpetual warfare going on in the Middle East. It's costing American lives and American dollars that we don't need to spend. At the same time, I will maintain the strongest, biggest, and most powerful military on the planet. We just don't have to do it by killing people or getting our people killed in foreign wars that last 20 years or more. So let me just take all of this and put it together for you. In the last month, he has either reiterated or stated blatantly stances against the military-industrial complex, the pharmaceutical industry, and the banking industry. Literally has taken them to task in speeches in front of the American people. And he didn't do it in scheduled speeches. He called a news brief. Mm-hmm. And he spills it to the people. Now, you can say whatever the hell you want about Donald Trump, and I am not his biggest fan until he does things that absolutely prove unequivocally that he is, in fact, going to, I don't know, accomplish a great deal of what he promised he would. Now, we all know that he has to be bought and paid for. We all know that the Rothschilds bailed him out in one of his bankruptcies. He owes these elitists. But at this point, if you can understand that Trump is still alive after putting these guys literally on the stage and putting the spotlight on them, in front of the entire American and global population, because if you don't think what he says doesn't go out on the news across the planet, it does.
We should add to that one, Roger, also his absolute all-out declaration of war on human trafficking. That he came forward and made his statement on that. Like him or hate him, that was one of the best things I've ever heard out of a president's mouth in my life. And I know there's lots of people listening to this show that don't like Trump. I agree with you. He's a bought and paid for entity. Where it's going, Roger, that's the big question. Is he going to turn on the American people? That's my question. But what he came forward and said this week, sir, absolutely astounded me. An all-out declaration of war on it. And I've never heard that out of an American president in my life. Go ahead.
If you stop to consider he is still alive, then you must also stop to consider that those who are pulling his strings are making sure he is still alive. The only way that could possibly happen is if they were either almost or as equal to their elitist friends. I'm telling you, there is a major struggle, a civil war going on within the elitist caste, or Donald Trump would have been dead months ago. That's not a joke. That's an absolute fact. Just take the criteria for those who have been assassinated, not necessarily always presidents, governors, okay, senators. Let's take a look at the criteria. Trump should have been dead. He's not. He's not, because there is a civil war going on, and Trump is, I don't know, at this point, maybe protected property. And we have no idea what the leverage is. What we do understand is we have just seen something happen that has literally made history. And where the hell is the mainstream media? Did the mainstream media make the comparison I just did? Did the mainstream media even tell you that he has literally kicked in the groin the three biggest and most, I don't know, globalist organizations on the planet? You can't do that unless you've got someone on your side or you're someone's puppet. Now, would it behoove any elitist for the United States to come back out of this charging, full-blown, full-grown, with the economy getting ready to just scream? Oh, hell yes. Now, at the same time, on the other side, are there some elitists out there, Soros, who would benefit from seeing socialism? He grew up with that. Seeing socialism and communism literally taking stride and controlling the entire global population through the mechanisms of fear and ignorance. There are two factions. Why the heck do you think that in Romania and other countries in Eastern Europe, they're flipping the bird to the globalists and they're not getting killed either? Had this happened 2 or 3 years ago, anybody who stepped out of line would not have been in power very long. Stop and go back and look at the news. Go ahead, Barry.
No, I was just going to say, where is it all going, Roger? The end game. What is the end game here? I'm going to get your thoughts on it, and then I'll share a thought with you.
I would tell you that that's a question that absolutely can't be answered right now for two reasons. One, okay, whether or not most people would believe this, this has been going on for 70 years. This started right about the end of the World War II era. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you stop to consider that this has been worked on very hard for very long, and it has accelerated beyond our wildest imaginations because our technology has accelerated. But one of the biggest things we have going in our favor is not only do we exercise the ability to utilize the same types of technology, but we have a lot of people that are trained in that technology. Mm-hmm. So it is a two-edged sword. Where do I see it going at this point? I can't tell you that. We're looking at people who don't do things over days. They don't do things over weeks, and they don't do things over months. They do, if you're talking about staging something, yes. But if you're talking about turning an aircraft carrier that's going 40 miles an hour through the ocean, you don't make a 90-degree turn. You edge that thing over, it might take you a mile and a half to make a 90-degree turn, but you make it safely and everything goes well. That's a huge ship. Take the exact same analogy and put it towards us. Right now, things have accelerated, but it's still not something that we can see the end of. Because at this point, we don't know who's got the most power. And I'm going to tell you when we're going to find out. And Barry, I think you knew this was coming. Once the elections are held in this country, if and when, and I'm going to take the if and scratch it. Okay. When Trump is reelected, what you have seen in American cities prior to this will be back in spades, unless, and this is what I see happening in the background, unless you have a government that cares enough about their people to make sure that these cities are prepared for this. If you stop to consider that 47 out of the 50 largest cities in the United States in the last 6 months, even in the last 4 months, only that amount of time, have seen on-street riots and mass destruction. The 60s was no worse than this. And this ain't done. So where do I see it going? We're going to find out on November 4th. And then we're going to see just how prepared our leaders really are. And if enough Americans, and remember, we have over between 300 and 500 million guns in private hands in this country, and 85 to 90% of them are owned by conservatives or independents. If there is a full-scale civil war thrown upon the American people after the election, it's going to be very bloody, and it's going to be very quick.
Yeah, I see it going there, Roger, because these
people... I'm not sure it is.
Oh. Well,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you know, I have to agree with you. You know, no matter whether Trump wins or loses, there is going to be major civil unrest in the United States of America. My question is, and why, it's put up to the responsibility of the states to take care of this, and why the United States government, when all this crap starts hitting the fan in these cities, why they just can't step in with the National Guard. They've got to be invited in by the governor. I don't understand that part of your Constitution at all. The president is there to protect people. Right. So you have these riots going on. You got all these riots going on in these big cities, and people are dying and people are just suffering like crazy. And yet the U.S. government doesn't step in. Why is that? Something's got to give there, because they're not going to stop, Roger. They're not going to stop.
It's very, very simple. You talk about the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution is basically something that binds 50 independent sovereign nations. We are a united group of sovereign states. And state in that definition is used as in the state of Israel, the state of Syria, the state of... Okay. Now, would a president who had just been reelected or had... And literally... Doesn't matter what he does at this point, because he can't run for a third term. Would he have stepped in and done that? Probably. If Trump would have done it, because it is unconstitutional without the invite of that sovereign state's highest elected leader, the governor, and he had done, then they would have slammed Trump with the dictatorial powers. Abuse of office. And there would have been another impeachment round, the whole nine yards. Trump has done everything he could do to make these people feel bad, to make them feel guilty, but they are right. He does not have the absolute authority to step in and override the governor and bring in and occupy that state, because that's exactly what it would be.
Right.
Not only that, but the National Guard, okay, they can be activated, all right? But there's also militias. Anybody even talk about them? They can be activated. And I could go on. But in the United States, again, if this had happened 2 months after Trump got reelected, he probably would have declared a national emergency. Even then, the governors can override him in their states. So, again, we're sitting in a situation here where you've got a civil war going on, because you've got red governors out there that are doing just about everything they need to do, and hardly any of their cities or whatever. And even if the riots do start, they immediately bring the law in and get stopped. This is what we're seeing. The majority of what's happening here is happening in blue cities and blue states. I wrote an article about a month ago that says, when you are part of an organization that is willing to destroy America in order to keep a president from being reelected, how do you spell treason?
T-R-U, or Trudeau. How do I spell Trudeau? T-R-U-D-E-A-U is how you spell treason. But the same thing is going on. Doesn't matter where we look, anywhere in the world right now, Roger. The same agenda is being played out. I mean, my God, look what's going on in Australia right now, folks. You know, I mean, that's coming to our backyard, whether you like it or not. What's going on? Well, maybe, Roger, you know, I can see Trudeau trying to pull off the same crap here in Canada.
I can see
the Americans will put up with it, but I think Trudeau will try it. Go ahead.
No, I agree. I was agreeing with you, and I apologize for talking over you. But yes, see, I'm used to you not talking on your show. The problem with Trudeau is that there are so many people now starting to see through him. It's insane. Okay. Yes, and this is the same thing that happened to Obama eventually as well. So again, just because you ride in on a popular wave doesn't mean you can survive doing absolutely nothing because you rode in on a popular wave. Mm. End of story. But I would agree. Again, you're looking at a country where and the thing of it is, everybody knows this. It's not a secret. Where as many as 500 million guns could be in personal hands, and you need to think about something. There's only 350 million Americans. So there's a whole lot of people out there really packing well. Mm. Not a joke. Not a joke at all. So there are things that will be tried in places like, and I apologize, but this is the truth, places like Canada, places like Mexico, places like Guatemala, places like Syria, places like that, you're not going to try in the United States until you're pretty damn sure it's going to work.
Yeah, but I'm sure Mr. Trump is sitting there looking at this 4,000 miles of unprotected border with Canada and what Trudeau is doing. The terrorist cells right now that are operating in Canada, Roger, and you're probably aware of this, that are operating under protection of the government, that is, there's no publicity on it at all, period. The fact that we have Chinese troops now verified in Canada. You're not hearing any of this on mainstream. This government is so treasonous, Roger, but the good news is, and I've got to tell you this, that yesterday in Toronto, they had one of the biggest turnouts ever in a Canadian city to speak against the government. And for a liberal city like Toronto, for 5,000 to 8,000 people to show up on the streets, just absolutely defying the government's orders, was encouraging. It's really showing me that Canadians are starting to wake up to this.
Say, Roger.
And so they should be. Go ahead.
Can I ask you something, Roger?
Actually, it's not my show. See?
Yes, you can, Steve. Well, yes, you can ask Roger a question.
Yeah, since you haven't monitored any chat since the beginning, Barry.
If I talk to Roger, I'm sorry, folks, if I don't listen or read a lot of the chat because I'm trying to keep up with the guy. That's a challenge. Okay?
Always end up back in my lap. Okay.
Number one. Number one, Roger. Number one, what is your ancestral background? Lori loves your passion. She thinks she might be Scottish.
Let me explain something to you. I spent almost 30 years traveling this planet, over 1.5 million air miles. And of all the countries I've been to over and over and over again, Scotland is by far my favorite. And I got to tell you something, the Scottish Highlands are the most beautiful thing on the planet in the autumn. And if you've never seen it, please look it up online. But no, as a matter of fact, I come from a family. My entire family was rounded up, put on a ship and sent to Canada in a basically a prison ship because we tried to overthrow the French monarchy. My name is Roger Raymond Francis Landry. My mother's maiden name is Dorette Jeannette Cloutier. So I'm a Frenchman.
Interesting.
Wow. I'm an American of French descent.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Interesting. And the other question is, Roger, do you see any sort of a revolution taking place, or actual real revolution, or any sort of a civil war actually taking place, not some contrived, acted out on a TV screen type of thing?
I do believe that there are those who wish it, and those are the ones the Soros bought Antifa, individuals, so on and so forth. BLM, what most people don't understand, BLM, the most of the money you contribute to BLM goes in Joe's account or in other people's accounts across the country running for election. It doesn't go to BLM. Very, very little of it ever does. Do I see a revolution? I hate like hell to tell people this, but if you look, we're in one right now. How do you define a revolution? It's when a majority of the people in a nation either find things they can't agree on, can't settle on, or, and this is exactly where we are. We are in a revolution. What most people don't understand is World War II didn't start when all of the bombs started falling. It started 2 years, maybe even 3 years before that. We are in a revolution in America right now, and by my definition, you're either damn close or in one in Canada as well, and in a lot of nations around this planet right now. The question that is probably best answered for the person in the chat is, will this turn violent? Will it go to the next stage?
That's what I meant to ask, yes.
Yeah, I think that when Trump wins, and there's no doubt in my mind, it's anybody who thinks that Biden's got a snowball's chance in hell is an idiot. And I don't apologize for that. But when Trump does win, there are going to be, yes, paid for mercenary uprisings all across the country. And if I know this, and a lot of people in the audience probably already knew this, you got to know Trump and his Billy Bobs know this as well. And if you don't think, like I mentioned earlier in the show, that they are not at this point in time making plans for this, the problem here is not that we've seen billions of dollars of damage in these cities after 100 days of rioting in some of them. That's not the big problem. The big problem is that after the first freaking night, they let it happen again, or they even let it happen the first night. Because any major city in this country today where the police stand up on night one, there is no night two. Mm-hmm. So do I think there could be violence? I think there may be an attempt to do violence, but I do think this is where you will see the American people and a government that actually cares for the American people stepping up to make sure we don't get a repeat. We've already been threatened. Anybody with any brains at all is already making bank on this, is already preparing for this. Do you think billions upon billions of dollars need to be lost again, and thousands upon thousands of businesses, mostly from the African-American community, the people they're supposed to be protecting and standing up for? Look at what's happening, people. Right now, there may be violence, but it's going to last a very short period of time. And that's what I see happening. Do I have a crystal ball? No. But you guys both know, Steve, you and you, Barry, that I do this every day, 16 to 18 hours a day. And I lived in that community and worked in that community for almost 30 years. I'm not a fatalist. I'm just not. And I do think that there are smart enough people in this country to be ready for what's going to happen. And do I think that the American people are stupid enough or cowardly enough to go vote for Joe Biden so that people won't riot in their downtown? That's the wrong threat to make. Mm. It really, really is the wrong threat.
Well, you know they're going to try and steal it, Roger. You know that's in the playbook. They're going to try and steal this.
Steal it.
And if they do steal it, And the announcement is made that Joe Biden is the presidential elect in the United States of America. I think we're going to see all hell break loose, my friend. I hate to say that. I'm not a fatalist either, but I'm realistic. I mean, the American people won't take that, Roger, and I think that's what they're going to try and pull. I might be wrong, but I think they're going to try and pull that. Go ahead.
I don't think that they're going to actually pull that. I don't. But do I believe that something along that line is doable? Yeah. I made a meme up for the Liberty Beacon yesterday. I want to read you what I put on it, okay? It goes like this. Is this treason? And in the background, you've got a picture of Joe Biden looking so tired and so worried. And it's a black and white image, just for effect. So the title is this treason? Electing slow Joe will be empowering, no, not Joe, he can't think, unelected progressive officials who seek the total remake, socialism/communism, of America. When you vote for Joe knowing this, please tell me how this is not premeditated treason, betraying one's country, regardless of your reasons. And yes, I have extremely good arguments to back that up. Then there's today's meme. That was for yesterday. Today, we've got a new, I don't know, nominee for the Supreme Court. And they've already started. And this is a good woman with a great record and blah, blah, blah. And I won't even go into all the politics on this. But the left has already started to make her out to be some whore, some liar, some backstabbing. But yet she's got one of the most prominent records in her field. She graduated from law school first in her class. Remember Biden lying and saying that? She actually did. So here's the meme for today. Her name is Amy Connie Barrett. There's a black and white image of her, and alongside of it says, you are a Christian. You are a conservative. You believe in the Constitution. You are the stuff liberals have nightmares about. Your life is about to change with the full onslaught of liberal hate and hell. And we pray for you.
You know they're going to all out attack her. You know that, Roger. I've already seen the attacks coming. And you've got to expect that because that's their game book. They don't have anything else to go on right now. Period.
But, okay, and I've got to tell you how stupid these people are. Everything they're doing is backfiring on them. Okay, every single thing they're doing is backfiring on them. I know for a fact because I talk to them and I've talked to other people who have shows and they've talked to people and they've asked them what's one of the biggest reasons, and this was over a year ago, okay, that you are walking away from the Democratic Party. And a majority of people said, did you see what they did to Kavanaugh? Do you see what they did to Kavanaugh? How the hell could I stay a Democrat after that shit happened? That is a huge chunk of the people that just walked away from the Democratic Party. Now, there's going to be a massive onslaught to literally destroy this woman so that nobody would elect her for anything, right? We can see this coming. And, of course, the president and the country and everybody else, people like you and me, we're going to jump up and we're going to say, this is the truth. This is what you need to see. But we're not hysterical like they are. What's going to happen is as that fervor rises, you're going to see more and more Democrats walking away. By the time this election happens, we've already know, everybody on the planet knows. Tell me where I'm wrong here. Everybody on the planet knows that Biden can't string a dozen sentences together. I am so waiting for this debate. It's insane. Okay? You're going to take Trump on and you can't even talk for 5 minutes without forgetting where you are or screaming at somebody? Yeah.
They're not going to let him debate him, Roger.
He said he's going to.
So what?
That'd be good entertainment.
That's what I just said. If you take that and you take the fact that he has, and it's on record, been recorded as lying so many times, it's insane. If you take creepy, let me sniff your hair, Joe, if you take the fact that Trump goes into Virginia, which is supposed to be a blue state, and gets like 50,000 person crowd, and Joe goes in, and they've got seven people distanced properly, wearing masks in the crowd, clapping when they're supposed to. A little sign goes up, says clap. And anybody out there who believes that Biden is going to get elected and all of this isn't just to accomplish something is an idiot. There is no way in hell Joe Biden is going to get elected. Forget about it. It's impossible. The only way it's going to happen is if Trump has, and I'm knocking on wood, this ain't true, is if Trump has a heart attack on Election Day.
Well, there's one thing that Trump has come out supporting that really kind of got me ruffled a little bit. Roger, I'm going to get your thoughts on this. Is he supporting the idea of a vaccine being made available for the public? Now, let me ask you a question, Roger. Most vaccines, and you've got a little bit more knowledge on vaccines than
I do. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I admit that. But what I understand, sir, is that a vaccine being brought to the market usually is about a 7 to 8 year period before they can actually release it for public use with their double blind, blah, 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 placebo studies, everything else that has to be done. And I did some reading into it. I want you to weigh in on that. Now, Trump has come out saying that he supports the idea of a vaccine. That, to me, is not a good stance from a gentleman that's supposed to support freedom of people. Because the vaccine brought this fast to the market to try and deal with something that they can't even identify, that they can't actually, and I want you to weigh in on this. The strain is actually, they cannot actually isolate this strain. And they want to create a vaccine, and they're going to make it available to the public, coming from organizations like, let me think, Bill Gates, you know, a card-carrying Malthusianist, you know, 33-degree level high-level Freemason, you know, the most evil man on the planet, and this is where this information and this vaccine is going to come from. I want you to weigh in on that, my friend, because that's, I can't understand. I can't. Go ahead. Now that should
first off,
to explain.
Didn't we? No, one or two. Actually, all right, I'm done. No, listen. Let's stop for 1 second. Let's stop for 1 second and remember how we started this entire discussion. Anybody out there who believes that Trump isn't part of this elitist caste, let me see, a billionaire does business all across the planet. Yeah. No, he's not part of this caste. No. Anyway, you're an idiot if you don't think so. I told you about a civil war. I told you these people are literally using you and me as soldiers against each other. And I don't mean you and me as in personally. What you're looking at is choreographed. Trump can't get everything right all the time, especially if that's one of the people pulling one of his strings. I do honestly believe that the pharmaceutical industry holds enough sway on this planet that, yeah, they'll take a kick or two, especially if it has to be done. But again, I really think that may have been, I don't know, he threw him a bone. The point here is, if anybody has ever heard me say Trump is a fabulous hero and that I think he's perfect, angelic, and hyper smart, and I don't believe any of those things. What I do believe is that this is an individual, regardless of what sect or what, I don't know, what he belongs to. This is an individual who has done more for the people in this country in the last 3.5 years than any president I can remember in their full terms. If you stop to consider that the average president fulfills between 20 and 27% of the promises they make prior to election, that's most of them when they've completed 8 years. Trump is bumping up on 87%, and he hasn't even hit the 4-year mark yet. You can call him anything you want to call him, because I personally think sometimes he's a total buffoon. But if you want to take the president who has done more in the interest of the people, tell me one, because there hasn't been one. Not in our memories, and I'm 66 years old.
So you think he's being allowed to do this, Roger, just to gather support from the general public?
He wouldn't be doing this if he wasn't allowed to do it. It's the end of the story. There is nobody on this planet who is immune from being assassinated. It's not possible. Unless you go in an underground cave with an air and water supply and food supply that's totally detached from anywhere on the planet, you can be killed. You can be. Trump is still alive, and he's out there making more waves than any president in history. I just got done telling you guys, in the last 4 weeks, he kicked a military-industrial complex upside the butt. He kicked the pharmaceutical companies in the butt, and he kicked the banking industry in the butt. Those are the three preeminent world powers. Yeah, he's either really stupid, or that just answered your question, Barry.
Very interesting times we live in, isn't it, Roger?
Yeah.
Trying to put all the little pieces together and make it make sense in your brain. I know they just they set up some 5G towers around here, and I don't know, man, if it's just me or if I'm actually feeling a little disruption in my sleep. First time I've really noticed disruption in my sleep in the last little while here, but they just put this tower up on me. Tell me there's a coincidence there, buddy. It's just a coincidence. They're doing it everywhere.
I will tell you something that most people probably haven't heard. And that is that Apple has put out all of the information on their new releases, and not one single new release from Apple is 5G ready. Not one. As a matter of fact, what they're working on is their own system that they have in place in a lot of areas already that is nowhere near as supposedly EMF dangerous and 60% faster than 4G. Now, what everybody out there is thinking is that 5G is going to be so much faster than 4G. Wrong. 5G is not about being faster. 5G is about carrying more information. Right. From point A to point B. Right. So Apple is talking about screw 5G. Even their Apple 12, which is supposed to be, has always been, you know, introduced in September, is now going to be introduced in October, and it will not be 5G compatible. But it has the ability to be 60% faster. That's faster than 5G. So let me ask you a question, okay? With everybody across the planet starting to scream, and they should be, absolutely, the absolute dangers, and we're talking about fatal dangers, cancerous dangers, and I could go on and on. Everybody's screaming about that. We're starting to see pushback, political pushback, in countries across the planet, including the United States in some states and some areas. So all of a sudden, Apple says, and they have a big chunk of the market, we ain't doing 5G. That's too damn unpopular. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you something that's 60% faster. 5G can't do that, and it's not going to be as bad. There's no such thing as good EMF. All of it needs to go. Wi-Fi needs to go. Bluetooth needs to go. All of that crap is part of the reason we have so many chronic illnesses. But the difference between going to 5G and not going to 5G is absolutely huge. So all of a sudden, Apple steps up and says, none of our products this year, and there's 5G loaded out in all of the major cities, none of our products this year are going to be 5G compatible. Do you think they've seen the writing on the wall?
Well, I know there's quite a few European nations that have banned Huawei and 5G.
Yep.
I was reading an article on that, Roger, and I don't have the article in front of me, but it's interesting now that we are seeing major pushback. The only place we're not seeing it is in Canada, where Trudeau's just, come on in, guys, and set it all up. The quicker the better.
Well, one of the biggest pushes we're getting from the neocons, and including Trump, and in to some degree, I would expect that it should be happening, is a lot of this pushback against China. And then, you know, we've got China. If everybody knew the full story of China, you would understand that communism is a front for them. They have the elitists have businesses all over the planet. They live in their their pet mansions in half a dozen countries. They fly in their private jets. Yeah, these are communists where everything is supposed to be owned by the state. Okay, it's the biggest bunch of hypocrites on the planet. But yep. 5G. As soon as the first reports came out, leaked out of China about the Wuhan virus, and that's what it was called back then.
Right.
And you heard me say this before, Barry. The Chinese grabbed a bunch of – because there was already 5G in Wuhan, just not enough for their purpose. So they grabbed about, I don't know, hundreds of these 5G transmitters, antennas, and ringed Wuhan with them and then fired them all off. Almost within 48 hours, you started to see people dropping dead in Wuhan. Oh, there goes another COVID-19 death. No, it was a coronavirus death. Oh, another coronavirus death. Oh, another coronavirus death. Now, what I'd like you people to do, and you've been asked to do this before, some of you will remember, so you don't have to do it again, is to go online and find a COVID-19 death zone where the maximum or the highest density of deaths occurred across the planet. Then what I want you to do is find the same map, and you can, showing the completed or almost completed 5G build outs across the planet. Then I want you to tell me what a coincidence is, because in my eyes, there is no such thing as a coincidence. They don't exist.
Well, hey, I agree, Roger. You did what you just mentioned there. You mentioned that a couple weeks ago on your show, and yep. I actually went and did it myself. And wow, what a coincidence!
Yeah. A coincidence is a tale of tyrants and the belief of fools. That's what a coincidence, and that's my definition, and I stand right by that. And there are actually coincidences, okay? A coincidence happens very, 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 very seldom because the odds of it happening, but the fact that, you know, a bird lands and another bird exactly looking like it exactly lands right next to it at the exact same time, people would call that a coincidence. But the chances of that happening may be one in a trillion, but it still has a chance of happening. Coincidences, in my eyes, are things that just can't happen. And that's what we're talking about here.
So do you think we'll have enough public pushback to stop 5G from being rolled out, Roger?
I think that if 5G gets rolled out and fired off across the United States and Canada, we're in a lot of trouble. Because that is a control mechanism that we will have no way of. I did a show with you where I talked about creating a focused beam, a steerable right. beam, utilizing all the small antennas 5G will require. And right. if you can steer that beam, you can literally steer a microwave beam onto someone's body, and our bodies are full of aluminum. Ever put any type of metal, never mind aluminum, any type of metal in a microwave and shut the door and turned it on, all hell broke loose, didn't it? And we had this discussion on your show before. So again, all right, 5G is the perfect control mechanism. At what point can the government step up to say, you will do what we ask you to do, or we don't see any reason to have you around anymore? And what the hell can you do about it? At that point, nothing. The big difference between what Apple has and what 5G is that Apple has an expanding wave. 5G, the reason you can form these beams is because 5G is not an expanding wave. It is a pulsed technology.
Right.
And that is much easier to control.
Well, it scares the crap out of me, I'll tell you, Roger. I'd like to just go back to rotary phones, man.
You know? All of this technology needs to go away. It all, every single bit of this wireless technology needs to go away. Here's something that ought to scare all of you parents, and I would imagine this is probably just about as true in Canada as it is in the United States. If you have a young daughter and she's about to start school, I can make you a promise, because the government has already done, excuse me, the research paper has already been done on this. And it states that if female goes to school, and all of our schools today, 97%, I believe the number is, have Wi-Fi in just about every classroom. Your daughter going to K through 12, 57% of our female children are sterilized. 57%. So let me ask you a question. What do we keep? Do we keep the cell phone? No, that's even worse. Do we keep the Wi-Fi? Hell no. I just told you what that's doing, and a heck of a lot more. I can also tell you that since Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and cell phones came into being, take a look at the introduction of cell or wireless technology as it advanced over the years, and take a look at the growth of the cancer statistics at the same time. You want another jaw-dropping look at reality? We need to get rid of it. It's killing us, and it is putting us into the most chronically ill state we have ever seen. The United States, not Canada, the United States has the most chronically ill society on the planet in the history of the planet. The United States, which spends 10 times more as per average on our health care than any other nation on the planet. Can anybody explain to me why one out of every two Americans today have a chronic disease and one out of every four have two chronic diseases for life? Can you explain that to me when we spend 10 times more on our health care? Now tell me there isn't a war going on because we're in the middle of it.
Yeah, we are the guinea pigs, Roger.
Yep.
And they suck every penny out of our bodies they can possibly take out of our bodies, and then they kill us. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, the conversations we've had over the years on big farming, why people can't really wake up to what's going on with these organizations, Roger. Sometimes it astounds me. It really does. These people are killing thousands and thousands of people in North America every year. And it's just the price of doing business. Send them to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board. You can't sue the producers of pharmaceutical drugs. I mean, they are protected by the people that are protecting the people, and it's really got to come to a stop. And as far as 5G goes and wireless, Roger, I agree. It doesn't have a place in our society. It doesn't belong here. Our bodies were never, ever designed to deal with this kind of stuff, and here we are. And all they're doing is ramping it up. And what the effects on our bodies are, they have no idea. Well, they probably do, but they don't care. Go ahead.
They do. They absolutely do. They have an awareness of everything that's going on. if again you understand that these elitists foretell everything they do, they always step up to the plate to tell you what they're going to do. And I know we've been there before, but you got to think of one of the most obvious in your face. This thing cost millions of dollars, okay, to have done. Put up the whole nine yards, probably at least a couple million. And that's the Georgia Guidestones. They're telling us that their mission is to maintain humanity under 500,000 in tune with nature. There's 7.5 billion. 7 billion of us need to go away. There is a globalist push. We all know it, and part of what they're trying to accomplish is to protect the planet, okay? We can't put so much gas in our cars. We can't have so much electricity. We can't do anything that may ruin the environment. All of these things are in play. All of these things are in play, and we're all supposed to believe that this is happening. We, at this point right now, humanity is at a turning point. We're either going to come out of this on the other side a whole lot stronger than when we went in, or humanity will be enslaved. That's the two options. not whether there's going to be a civil war or not, not whether or not the economy is going to come back, not any of that crap, not if our school system is going to come back under our control and away from Common Core, none of this. What we're looking at is, are we going to have a free society going forward, or are we going to be voluntarily enslaved?
We're going to have to answer that question on the next show, Roger, because our hour is up, buddy. And it went really quick. Always does when I'm chatting with you. One last comment from you, and I'm going to have to let you go, bud, but I will have you back hopefully real soon.
If you get a chance and you want to either check on anything I've said or do a little bit more research, the reason I can talk to these things the way I do is because all of this is on the Liberty Beacon, The Falling Darkness, Europe Reloaded, UK Reloaded. Yeah, we actually have websites outside of the country. So do me a favor, go to the Liberty Beacon and either put a topic or just put my name in the upper corner, in the search bar, right corner, and find out what you need to find out. And if you've got questions, leave them on the article. We answer every question you leave. This isn't a matter of driving traffic to our website. This isn't a matter of Roger needs to be more popular. This is a matter of crapper, get off the pot. This is serious now.
Absolutely, Roger. And, buddy, it's never been about you. Your heart's in the right place, and I thank you for coming in and sharing your thoughts today, bud.
I appreciate your time.
Okay, well, folks, I'm going to be back in a few minutes with Jürgen Walrath, and Jürgen's got a lot to say today, so hang around. I'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes. Thanks again, Roger, for joining me.
Thank you. Follow me into the desert as best as you want. Crack a smile and cut your mouth and drown in alcohol. Stop me on the truth this lying beneath the river bend. Sequence yourself.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again for Roger to coming in and sharing some thoughts. Always good talking with the man, and like I said, I'll have him back real soon. I am joined the second hour here by Jürgen Wallrath. People listening to my show in the past have heard Jürgen talk many times. I think I've probably had him on a half a dozen times now. Haven't talked to Jürgen for, probably a month now, maybe a little longer. Good to have you back on the show, Jürgen. I know lots has happened in Canada since the last time we talked. How are you doing today, my friend?
Well, thanks a lot for having me back on the show, Barry. If I can ask, first of all, are the levels okay right now? Am I speaking too loud?
No,
I think
fine.
You're fine.
It's fine.
Okay, good. Good. Thank you very much for having me back on the show, Barry. Yeah, it's been a while since we've chatted, that's for sure. The country has certainly gotten into more of a mess since the last time we spoke. Things are wrapping up, as you know, very rapidly. Things are going so quickly now. We're getting so much information blasted at us on a daily basis. It's hard for any of us to really process anything because it's coming at us so quickly. I don't think any of us are built to withstand this kind of an onslaught of information and misinformation and properly juggle it to come out with proper judgments, if you know what I mean. It's very difficult for any of us.
Absolutely.
It is what I've been kind of thinking in the last while, is that how is the human brain supposed to process all of this negative, positive information, misinformation, propaganda, and bring it all into within yourself, sort of mix it all up, and then come up with your own judgment through your own reasoning and logic and common sense. It's hard to do that, especially when most of the reasoning and logic and common sense has been driven out of people by a movement to political correctness, where the only correct thing seems to be, if you're a social justice warrior and you side with the left and their Marxist ideologies. So mm-hmm. it's really gotten crazy, that's for sure.
All I can suggest to people, Jürgen, is if you can, go take a walk in the woods as much as you can, because I'm doing that a lot right now. It's the time of year that I pick mushrooms, so it's given me the opportunity to get out in the bush a lot. And I'll tell you, my friend, it gives me time to sit and try and rationalize about, like you said, all this information that's coming at me right now. People's minds seem to be in a state of scrambled. And this, of course, is all by design. They're doing this on purpose. So they're overloading our brains. They're adding things into our diet, into our air that we don't even know about. You don't think that's having an effect on us? Then, of course, they're rolling out 5G on us. I mean, this is an all-out attack. And what's going on in Canada right now, folks, it just breaks my heart to see what's going on in this country. The good news is, Jürgen, that demonstration yesterday in Toronto, I don't know if you saw the video on that, but there was like over 5,000 people on the streets. Of course, CBC came out last night and did a little blurb on it and said that 200 demonstrators were demonstrating in downtown Toronto yesterday. Isn't that cool?
I think the biggest enemy just a little bit wrong.
Yeah, no kidding, man. 5,000 people on the streets of Toronto, and CBC has the gall to come out and report it as a demonstration by 200 people, folks. That's how far our government has taken control of our media in Canada.
They've been doing that with every demonstration that's happened this summer. Remember, there were 6,000 to 10,000 people on the Hill when Norman Traversy was there, and CTV reported a few hundred people. You know, it goes right back. If you look at there's this guy, one of the founders of the UN, Klaus Schwab back in June or July of this year. He was saying that based on the coronavirus and the things that are transpiring on the globe right now, he said this. He said that the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions. Every country from the U.S. to China must participate, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. Now, he said this in Davos at the World Economic Forum. You know, that's the same Bilderberg bunch. Mm-hmm. But that's where they're at. They're using this plandemic, scandemic, whatever you want to call it, to implement global changes. And we're seeing it happen on a daily basis, right? Well, it's crucial to the implementation of it. He had mentioned as well, Klaus Schwab, was their relationship with the Gates Foundation. He mentioned that in that speech in June or July of this year. It was important that people understand that the UN, in driving this, critical to the implementation of driving this social engineering, is their relationship with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Of course, and their connection to the Chinese Communist Party. And their connection to the World Health Organization. Who is actually running the World Health Organization? And where is all this propaganda coming from, Jürgen? I mean, this Teresa, whatever her name is, Tam, in Canada here, all she's doing is repeating exactly what the World Health Organization is stating as the way we're supposed to handle this scamdemic. I mean, this thing is just absolutely driving me insane that common people are still walking around with masks on their face. I'll bet you here in Terrace, I don't know what to say to people. I really at this point don't know what to say, but probably 25 to maybe 30% of the population is walking around with a mask on their face. You know, what do you say to these people, Jürgen? What do you say if they're at that point where they're going to put a mask over their face without looking at the effects of hypoxia, what this thing actually does, what it can protect you against? They're just going along with what the government's telling them. Well, unfortunately, those are the people that are going to roll up their arms or their sleeves for the vaccine when the government announces. And those are the people in society that scare me. The rest of us, there seems to be a general wide awakening now in Canada happening. Right now, it is crucial in our history that we put the pedal right to the floor, because these people aren't going to stop. Some of the stuff they're going to pull here, I think, in the next little while is really going to shock people, Jürgen. And they'll, of course, play off that chaos. Go ahead.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think we're in for some very, very major disturbing things that are going to happen. But on the flip side of that, I think we're also going to see some good things happen. So because we're in this spiritual war, we're going to see some battles won by our side and some battles lost. That's just the way a war works, right? You're not going to win every battle. But the overall picture is that we have to focus on winning the war. Now, in winning the war, we have to, of course, focus more on the bigger picture than on the individual small battles, for example. You know, we have to take a more, a bigger oversight. Like you said, you're walking the forest. And let me extrapolate on that. Walking in the forest has the same effect as any kind of meditation. And what we're seeing globally is we're seeing more and more people get together in a very spiritual way, in terms of maybe not so much in mass prayer, but in mass cognitive reasoning and mass awakening to the fact that our abilities and our chance of advancement as a human species has been taken away from us. And I think more and more people are starting to realize that. You're right. The majority are still asleep. They're still wearing the mask, and they're still listening to the mainstream that is telling them what to do. You're absolutely right. And Canada is probably the worst country on the planet for it, because we've been so soft since the end of the Second World War. We've been taken advantage of by consecutive governments that it's beyond belief. They've taken away our patriotic will to fight for this country. Justin Trudeau has declared us a post-national state. Quebec is basically what I see the only jurisdiction in this country that's allowed to have any feelings of nationalistic pride. The rest of us are told, go live in your multicultural tent and, you know, pay attention to the guy next door who doesn't have to wear a helmet while you have to. So it's pretty crazy, right?
Mm. And it's only getting crazier. They're really ramping up. Some of the stuff going on here, can I just shake my head? I really do. But I get back to the general population. I mean, they're not hiding this anymore. It's right in our faces. And even though mainstream media is doing everything we can to protect our politicians, a very, very little bit of research on the computer at night, and you'll find out for yourself just how badly we're being played. Yet people don't seem to be able to do that. They're, well, what did they do? Well, Jürgen, they brought back hockey. Hey, Yahoo, who's winning? You know, who cares? But, of course, they had to bring in some distractions and get us watching hockey and baseball and everything else that they do to distract us. They're ramping that up. I mean, they're playing that card right now. Now we hear them going back to the climate accord and the climate bullcrap that they've been talking about for years.
Yeah.
They're back on that program now, Jürgen. You know,
yeah,
They left it alone for a while, and now they're back on that program. So what's next? What's next?
Well, what's next is they're going to take the meat, right, and the fake meat, and they're going to sell us phony food, even more phony than the food they've been feeding us. If I may, Barry, I'd like to go back to 2007 just for a minute. We're talking about all these things that are going on today. A big part of the problem is that you have the way our governments are set up. They're set up to only basically help themselves and find a way for themselves to survive by stealing from the populace and not necessarily listening to what the populace has to say. Back in 2007, I was involved with a group of citizens. I was president of an organization called CESCO. It was the Coalition of English-Speaking Canadian Organizations. And what we tried to do is we tried to organize Canadian-speaking organizations to fight against the intrusion of French language into the majority English population, basically telling the majority English speakers they can't have their language, we need to learn French, you can't have a good job without the French, blah, blah, blah. So in 2007, our group worked diligently because the city of Ottawa came up with a plan what was it called? Something about integrating Ottawa and the diversity and all, you know, the liberal leftist speak, right? So we did a study and we came up with savings of roughly $8 million in the city budget. We had accountants that were in our organization and other people working on the numbers that the city had provided, and we came up with a savings of roughly $8 million for the city for that coming fiscal year. So we had a presentation, we made a PowerPoint presentation, and we went to the city, we presented it to the city manager. He said, this looks great, let's see if we can present it to the mayor. Once the city manager got it, it never got past him. Meetings that we were supposed to have with him after the initial showing of this thing were blocked. We couldn't get past him to get to the mayor. One of our people, actually, we snuck him into a city council meeting, and he left a copy of our PowerPoint presentation on the mayor's chair after a meeting. Now, we don't know if the mayor got it. We never know if the mayor ever got any of our findings and our money. So we ended up after that writing letters to different councillors, to different mayors, to different people running the city, wondering what happened to it and why are we ignored? Why would you not pay attention to a citizens advocate group that worked on a budget to save the city $8 million, right? They never even... And that's my point. That's what I'm getting to here, because we were talking about the mess we're in. Well, there it is. You know, there it is. Why would any government just basically turn its back on a group of citizens that work diligently to save that community so much money? Why? And we've had this situation now for years. So the whole thing needs to be torn down, and we need to find a better way of doing things, because if we're denied the opportunity to save ourselves money or to create programs that better us, that make us a better human, that make us more community-minded, that in terms of real community, not the way the leftists portray it as this communist thing, but real, true community, people helping people. You don't have to be a leftist to be someone who helps somebody, right?
So you mean get back to what made our society great in the beginning? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah.
You know, we can't do that. I mean, we'd be going backwards, Jürgen. Come on. This is 2020. We got to be the new progressive mindset in society. You're absolutely correct, though. You are trying to inject a little bit of humor into what you're saying, because it's crazy how far our society has actually got away from those principles of what made our societies great. Our societies were founded on the strength of our family. And that has been taken away. We look at what's gone on in our societies here in the last, I say more so in the last 30, 40 years, although this agenda has been going on for a long, long time. I think in the last 30, 40 years, they've really ramped it up. Now it's in our face. If we lose this battle, folks, we will be living in a situation that I wouldn't wish on my worst neighbor. And I can't say that if I've ever said something correct in my life or true, I honestly believe that if we don't stop this now, we're really going to pay the price, and our children are going to pay the price. It's just right out of control. What this government's doing is right out of control. The amount of money they have spent, the amount of businesses have shut down in Canada, the effects on people's mental cognitive ability to process information alone, the amount of suicides in Canada has gone up 600% since the start of the scandemic. Same thing with domestic violence, same thing with child abuse, same thing with divorces. They're all going right through the roof. Just a coincidence. Nothing to see there, Jürgen. Nothing to see.
I think Medicine Hat has the highest per capita suicide rate in the country.
Yeah,
I think we have my boys at work here. They know 8 lads in their circles or friends that have killed themselves here. So this is the most brutal thing I've ever seen in this country. And it's not something that is being paid attention to whatsoever by the powers in the East. They couldn't give a crap about what happens out here. And that's what, another topic we should get on to, and that's the rise of the independence movement here, Barry.
Let's get on it. I want to talk about it.
Let's get on it.
Yeah.
Because
I agree. Listen, you know, I don't want to see Canada divided, okay? I believe a nation divided is a nation that's weaker. But in this situation, the West is completely being ignored and abused by the East. And I cannot blame the Westerners for the sentiment they're feeling now. If you listen to the throne speech the other night, Jürgen, and I forced myself literally to listen to that throne speech, I actually get violently ill when I listen to Trudeau speak. I do. I get a gag reaction in my stomach.
Me too.
I don't want to listen to the guy talk, but I had to. I have to know what the enemy's saying. And that throne speech was a joke, folks. A joke. He is not going to stop. He will destroy this country if we don't stop him, Jürgen. They're getting close to doing that right now with the amount of money that this government has spent on this scam since the start is at the point now where our country could literally collapse, folks. I didn't think I'd see that in my lifetime, Jürgen, but that's a reality right now. I believe that. Go ahead.
Well, and that's why you see the rise of the independence movement here. I think you're seeing a gain of popularity every day. The Wexit movement, of course, has changed its name to the Maverick Party. It's the Maverick Party now here in Alberta. And you have the British Columbia provincial Wexit Party. You've got this, I think in Saskatchewan, you've got the Buffalo Party. I think that's what they call themselves. You've got the Wildrose Independence Party provincially here in Alberta that's going to give Premier Kenney a run because people are so disillusioned with every globalist leader that we've got, whether it's the mayor of Calgary or if it's the premier of Alberta. It's time that we take a look.
He's a work of art, that guy. Go ahead.
It's time that we take a very, very serious look at the people that we put into these positions because They have agendas that do not align with, like you said, with family values and with the common traditions of our country. You've got people that are willing to just have these borders wide open and, according to the UN mandate, just pour in millions of people and basically drown out the Anglo history that is part of this country. And that's aided and abetted by the Franco-Laurentian elite. And that's why you see more of this independence movement happening in the West. We do not. Western Canadians do not want to separate from Canada. What they want to do is they want to retain the heart and soul of what makes Canadians and keep it in our area, because that's where it is. It doesn't reside in the East anymore. As we know, what resides in the halls of power in the East is nothing but the need for more power and the want for more power. That's what it's all about. That's what they all want. They don't care about us, especially the West. It's actually, right now, what we've seen with that throne speech is basically just another dagger in the back of all Westerners, period. Just pay the tab, keep sending Quebec money. We have a conservative leader now that has already said he wants to make sure that Quebec is happy. So there we are, there we go again. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody cares about us, so why should we care about them?
Well, something's going to happen in Canada here, I feel, that's really going to break the straw, because Canadians are getting to a point now. I mean, look at what's happening in New Zealand right now, Jürgen. I don't know if you're following that new party down there. I've been talking to Vinny. I actually had a talk with Vinny Eastwood here about 3 days ago about what's going on down there. He says, Barry, you just wouldn't believe it. Everybody I'm talking to now in the general population, he says, I could start a conversation anywhere, and they're all talking about what this party is saying to the New Zealander people. The fact that they're polling now in second place behind, you know, they're ahead of two established parties, and they're right behind the leader, apparently, right now, is what they're expecting this party to take power. And that is going to shake the world, Jürgen. I am praying that this party takes power in New Zealand, because everything they're standing for is absolute grassroots conservative values that made our nations great. Time to put a stop to this. And New Zealand goes this way, you're going to feel the ripples around the world, my friend. My God, look what's going on in Australia right now, Jürgen. People don't know what's going on down there. The media is silent about it, but they're in a lot of trouble. And the Chinese involvement in Australia right now, it's hard to get information out about it. But I was talking to people down there, and there's stuff that just isn't getting put out. The people don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Scary situation down there, and that could come to our doors really quick with somebody like Justin Trudeau. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and here's the other thing that we have to worry about is the global threat to our agricultural sector. We've got, I think, this winter we're going to have a major problem with food shortages. If you've seen what happened down in Iowa or Idaho, I forget which state it was, almost half of their crops were wiped out this year. They're the largest potato outfit. You've also seen the massive floods in that in China. You now see China going all around the world buying up food wherever they can. And that's a really, really scary thing that's going on. So, you know, we have so many things that are biting us in the butt right now. There's no question. And of course, the biggest thing of all being the re-election of Donald Trump coming on November 3rd, which is going to end the pandemic, but it's going to start the Civil War or some other darn thing, because they're not going to accept losing again this time, because they know they're all going down if they lose this time.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's a hope in hell of Biden legally winning this election myself, Jürgen. I mean, you're talking, this guy is an absolute idiot. Is that the best the Democrats can do? Come on, are you guys serious? This guy is stuck for an answer when you ask him his name. And this is the guy that wants to debate Donald Trump. I'm looking forward to that one, Jürgen. That should be good entertainment for an evening. I won't miss that. But seriously, I mean, who do you got? Harris and Biden as the alternative to Pence and Trump. In my world, I'm not a Trump supporter. I still believe to this day the guy is bought and paid for. Why he's being allowed to do everything he's doing in the States, I don't know. But right now, there is no logical choice as to who would be the next president of the United States of America. If Biden was to steal this, there will be a civil war because Trump supporters will not accept that. They will not accept that result.
Well, if you look at the massive rallies down there, you see all the boat parades, you see the car parades, you see cart parades. I mean, they're parading for Trump in numbers that I've never seen before. If you watch the rallies, you hear people now shouting out, "We love you, we love you." So he's got the pulse of the nation. He knows how to communicate with the people. The left is going ballistic because they absolutely know that they are going down. And if they're going down, they're going to take a pile of people with them. And the collateral damage could be the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah, it is going to be kind of crazy times coming up because information is going to start coming out here very quickly on the Dunham report.
Yeah.
There's some stuff going to come out here in the next little while, and I think they're going to try and repress it till after the election's over. But, boy, some of the information that I've been made privy to that's going to come out to Jurgen is going to rock the United States right to the core. But what's going to be the result of that? That's the big question. We're going to see chaos erupt. I honestly believe that. Where's it going to go? And where's it going to end up? Big question right now. But we know that they're not going to take this sitting down. They know that if they lose this election, then there's a really good chance that most of them are going to be behind bars in the next 2 to 3 years. And so they should be, Jurgen. You know, I've been waiting for years for some of these high-ranking individuals that have absolutely committed unbelievable acts of treason against their countries to be locked up, and yet we still haven't seen it. So I hope that day comes. The spinoff effects kind of got me a little bit worried, but we need to have this come to the surface. We really do. If we're ever going to live in a free and just society. One of the things that bothers me about Trump, and this question was put to him directly, is why he has not launched another independent investigation into the events of 9/11. And he didn't answer that question. And that, to me, is a big, big question, because the whole world knows that 9/11 was a lie. The whole world knows that. And because of the fact that he won't open another investigation into it kind of speaks volumes to me. What do you think?
I think he has to wait till his second term before he does anything. I don't think he has the power in the first term to do anything, to do much of anything other than what he's already done. Build the wall, do a few other things, reduce taxes, reduce some regulations. I think in terms of bringing people down, he needs to have the justices in place. He needs to have the Supreme Court. Plus, he also needs to have the Ninth Circuit. He needs to have the Sixth. All these different circuits that are full of leftist judges, leftist prosecutors. He'll never get a guilty verdict with the people that are in place right now on any of these clowns that have been robbing America. So I think he has to wait till he has got the right judges in place. And also, he has to wait until the American people and the people of the planet see the depths of evil that these people have been up to. You can't tell people. You have to show them. You have to show them. And that's the really sad part. By showing them, you have to wait. You can't just rush into things. You have to, like, look what he's done with Portland. He's let these mayors and these governors run wild to show the people what they're like. This is what they are. They love the power, right? But he has to show them. He can't tell them this stuff. So for me, you know, and my wife, I'll tell you what, I've never felt so much peace inside, because I think coming out of all of this, I know it's going to be a nightmare before we get out of it, but coming out of it, it's going to be so much prosperity. We are going to enter a world that is going to be so, so beautiful. I firmly believe that. I feel really good inside about it. I really do. I think good will triumph over evil. I think you see the amount of people that were in Ireland, the amount of people in in Germany, in London, you're seeing millions of people awakening. I mean, it's going to rub off on their leftist neighbors sooner or later, right?
1.3 million in Germany on the streets. Not a peep about it on mainstream media.
Sooner or later, they have to, though, Barry. They have to.
Eventually, they'll be forced to. If they want to keep any kind of credibility, they're going to have to expose some of the stuff that's going on. But just the fact that CBC reported this get-together in Toronto yesterday is 200 people. They really need to be called out on that, man. But how do you call them out? They control the whole situation. And the government's just going, good boys, you just keep doing what we pay you to do. I mean, we're in 1937 Germany right now. You know, people don't realize just how close we are to losing our country. And people say, that can't happen in Canada. Barry, come on. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, your grandfather is rolling in his grave right now because you're giving away your freedoms for nothing. For nothing. And they're taking an inch every day. They're taking an inch. And eventually it's going to be a mile and it'll be 10 miles. And your freedoms are going to be gone. Well, I had a chance to, I was playing hockey yesterday on Friday. I got to play hockey here with the young guys. There was about 14 of these guys. They're all 20 years old. And, of course, in the dressing room, I got a chance to talk for a few minutes. And I just laid out some facts to them. And, you know, surprisingly, young people, you know, they really don't know, but a few of them kind of nodding their heads going, yeah. We really got to reach the millennials, and I do see some of them waking up. But I think that's the age group we really got to target right now because they're the ones that are going to be most affected by what's coming here in the very near future. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely right. I've got two sons in their 30s with families. One son has three children, and the other son is going to have the second child in January. And I worry about their future. I worry about the kids, and I, you know, but they are awake. They are aware. The problem is that they're just so darn busy trying to pay all the bills all the time, especially in this downturn of an economy where the stresses on these young lads are just so unbelievable. I can't imagine myself now being in my 30s, having a young family, facing this scandemic that we're living under. And wondering where my next buck is coming from because we've got a government hell-bent on destroying our economic viability in every aspect. You know, we really need to, I think, we got to take over the media, that's for sure. We are the media. There is no other media other than citizen activists like us and other people that are doing this, the Billy Joyces of the world, you know, and the amazing Paulies. If it wasn't for all these people, what would we really know? We wouldn't know anything. It's a very, very scary time. But, I, you know, my boys, they're aware. They know what's going on. But where do you go? I mean, the opportunities here in Alberta, let's look at it from a provincial standpoint here. The opportunity was, oh, God, Rachel Notley is leaving, but we got Kenny coming and he's going to save the day. Well, you know, again, it's the same political BS we've been told over and over again, time immemorial in this country. You know, we go from the left to the right, to the left to the right. We bounce back and forth. It's just a big joke. We need to get back to community governance, get rid of all these high-paying jobs. All of that stuff has to go. We need a whole new system. It's all got to go. And I think it's coming. Jassara Nassara, I think it's real. I think John Kennedy was going to do that. That's why he was assassinated. So I think, you know, when you look at the dragon bonds, I heard a story about the dragon bonds. I don't know if you heard that story or not.
No,
but
I haven't.
Dragon bonds were Chinese bonds issued in the 30s or 40s or something that just sat there and they were made out to the people of the planet or something, and they're worth quadrillions of dollars. So I don't know. It's a story that I've heard that all this money is going back to the people. And if that's the case, I mean, I'm going with that. I'm going to go with that kind of positivity, that all those people that have stolen from us over thousands of years, they're all going to have to pay us back, period.
Boy, that's not going to happen very easy with these people. You're going to
But here's the thing. Did you hear that Trump has raided Venice and he's got all of our birth certificates?
I heard something about that. I haven't.
Yeah, because we are being controlled under admiral law, which is the law of the sea. So our birth certificates go to Venice because Venice is part of the sea. He's bringing them back so that we will be under law of the land, which gives us common law again, which gives us our individual rights back. We won't be under the law of piracy. Because the law of the sea is based on piracy.
Right.
So this is a fundamental change in our birthright has been done by the Trump administration already. And that, to me, that's a very, very big thing. If we can get back to common law, for example, here in Canada, if we can just ditch that charter and get back to common law, which served us so well, because it's just based on common sense. There's nothing in it that has to do with societal engineering and feel-good type of stuff, which is what the charter is all about. It's about feelings, whereas, you know, where we should be living based on reality, not on feelings.
Yeah, so, well, the government doesn't think anything of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms anyways. It's just a piece of paper to them. I mean, they have violated so many of those statutes already with this onslaught of this scandemic, man. The rights they've taken away from Canadians, it just blows my mind that people are taking this, that they're not standing in mass against it, that they can't see what's going on behind the scenes. But this is not about a pandemic at all. It doesn't even reach the classification of pandemic due to the numbers, man. It's a joke. But pandemic, that's a scary word, isn't it, Jurgen? You know?
Yep.
I mean, they came out and told us the whole world was going to be in a worldwide, global pandemic, and everybody just went, and everybody freaked, and the World Health Organization just ramped it up, and the mainstream media just fanned the flames. And here we are with a virus that has no more knockdown power than the common flu, yet we're treating it like the bubonic plague.
Yeah. Now,
why can't people wake up to this, Jurgen? The numbers speak for themselves. That everything the government is telling us is just a crock, that there's no truth to what's being told to us, yet people still go along, put their masks on and go down to the store. I don't know, man. I don't know. I thought we were supposed to be an intelligent species, that we were supposed to be able to rationalize and think for ourselves. But obviously that's been thrown out the window.
Yeah, no, critical thinking has been sort of erased out of our societal norm. We don't critically think anymore. We go along with what the mainstream tells us. And in this country, sadly to say, it's been that way for decades, because all we've ever had is left-wing media. We've never had anything on the right wing that was allowed to survive.
Yeah.
Right. I remember when I was young, we had two newspapers in Ottawa. There was the Ottawa Citizen, which was a liberal paper, and we had the Ottawa Journal, which was more of a conservative newspaper. I think it was in the 60s or the 70s where the Ottawa Journal just kind of disappeared. It just gone. So all you got was left-wing news all the time from that day forward. Then, of course, the Ottawa Sun came along, or the Sun Chain, which claimed to be more right-wing, blah, blah, blah. And it just ended up being more of a, I don't know, a sort of a controlled opposition newspaper. That is probably the biggest part of our downturn, is that, along with the education, we've got the media, we've got our education that has failed our children in such a massive way. I can't even begin to say, to talk about the education system in a proper sense of reading, writing, and arithmetic, because all that is gone. We now have cultural studies. Now they're teaching kids that Black Lives Matter is so important, so it's all about Marxism. It's right up open in their face. And like you said, it's frustrating to watch other Canadians sit there and just say, this is all okay, this is progressive. Well, give your head a freaking shake.
Yeah, no kidding, Jurgen. No kidding. Why aren't we at school board meetings demanding that this crap stop in our schools, man? What's going on in our schools? I mean, it drives me nuts, Jurgen. It really does. We're basically in a nanny state now. My daughter right now is fighting with the government to get her kids back. My daughter went through a bad time. She got involved with some bad drugs. But I can honestly say now that she's been absolutely clean for the last 8 months. No involvement with any drugs at all. But the ministry got their hands on her children. And now, to get these children back, you wouldn't believe the battles that I'm involved with my daughter right now to get her children back. They honestly believe they own these kids, that we are just total subservient to them, and we're fighting tooth and nail. They don't want to give the kids up. But then we know what's going on behind the scenes, Jurgen. And some of the things that we know about that are going on behind the scenes with children, I don't even want to get talking about that today because it's so evil. But we know this is going on. We know the government in British Columbia is NDP government. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to put all the pieces together and figure out what's really going on behind the scenes. And that's what we're dealing with right now. So anybody out there, prays for Maya, please. A little prayer for Maya today.
Absolutely a prayer. Do you know where the kids are?
Where are they? They're both in child care right now. They're both in town. Maya was in court on Friday, and we're going to go to court again here in 2 weeks. The biggest problem we're having right now, because of the construction projects going on up the northern, up here in Kitimat with the LNG project, rentals in Terrace are they're non-existent. And if you do find a place to rent now, a house that would have cost you $800 3 years ago, now they want $2,000 for that house because they're getting it from the guys that are coming in and doing the construction work. They're making, you know, $8,000-$10,000 a month. If they've got to pay a couple thousand dollars for a house, so be it. But we've got now in Terrace the LNG homeless camp where people just cannot find a place to live because they can't afford the rents. So they basically have priced themselves. The city now has got a real problem because we've got a lot of homeless people in Terrace that had a place to live before. They get evicted. The landlord wants them out. They give them an eviction notice based on we're going to renovate the place, blah, blah, blah. They get them out. 3 months later, 2 months later, they open it up again, and they're getting $2,000 for a place that they were getting $800 for before. Greed is a very, very evil thing in our society, guys. But I see what it's doing in Terrace right now.
Wow. That's just hard to swallow.
It's happening right here, right now, man.
I believe it. I totally believe it.
Homeless camp down by the Skeena River. And there's a lot of people living down there because they can't find a place to live.
Well, and here's another thing. I've got a friend's going to be passing through here in the next week or so, Howard Galganoff. I don't know if you've read some of his posts or not, but he was a fighter for the English language rights in Quebec when they passed Bill 101, and he was trying to save the English language rights in Montreal. Anyways, he'll be passing through here this week. He was going to Texas every winter for 6 months. Like a lot of other people. I don't know if you know this, but there are millions of people that live in RVs, right? And we've got a situation now in our country that these Canadians who own the RVs that basically live in their RVs have no place to park over the wintertime because the border's closed. He lives in Ontario, Howard, and he used to go down to near Austin, Texas. He figures he got one of the last spots available in some place near Burnaby to spend the winter there. So wow. We have a problem with a lot of people, and they have no spaces where they can go. British Columbia has run out of space for these winter travelers to go because the border isn't open to the States. Isn't that crazy?
Well, you know, I know a lot of people, Jürgen, in the last couple of years have sold their houses and have moved into trailers and RVs and simple ways of living.
Oh, yeah.
And I happen to be one of those people. I went from a 3-bedroom house down to a 12x40 trailer, and that's what I live in. But it's all I need. It's a roof over my head. It's got everything I need. Sure, yeah. I don't have 3 bedrooms. I don't have all the space I used to have, but I live very cheap. That seems to be an important thing these days, man.
That's what my wife and I did as well. We went down from 50 acres in the east, and we've got a mobile home here in Medicine Hat, and we love it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need a big fancy house. I don't need toys. I don't need boats and RVs and all that kind of stuff. I just don't need them. I need a roof over my head and food in my stomach, and if I have that, I'm a happy guy.
You got it. And that's what's lost. You know, the consumer society has brought us to this place where we feel that we need to just build up all these material things when what you really need to do is build up your spirituality. We don't need all these things that we're surrounded with on a daily basis. We need to get back to more common sense, spirituality, and getting together with the earth like you do. You go out in the forest like my wife and I used to do all the time, walking our 50 acres. It was beautiful. You get back to earth. That's where our salvation is, I think. It's in community with brotherhood in terms of respecting everyone's individual rights, but at the same time being willing to help if someone needs help. It's just that simple, right? That's all we want. I want you to live your life exactly how you want to live it, as long as it doesn't intrude on how I live my life, right?
And you cause no harm. Who cares? Yeah, and you cause no harm.
Right. It's very simple. You know, the socialists are always looking for utopia. If they looked within themselves and found that utopia lies within the Ten Commandments, we'd solve all the problems right away.
Well, utopia, they talk about utopia, yet look what they've done to our planet in the last 100 years since the start of the Industrial Revolution, since the onslaught of nuclear power, which, of course, was never brought to the human race for power, Jürgen. You know that. It was brought to produce weapons-grade plutonium for the military-industrial complex. That's why nuclear power plants are designed the way they are. They need that temperature and they need that plutonium. And it was sold to the public as a new, cool way to generate power. We look at all the problems now being caused by nuclear power, man, all the problems they're having at nuclear power plants. Thousands of scrams going on all the time. People aren't aware of that, Jürgen, but there's problems all the time now with nuclear power plants that aren't being reported to the public. Boy, I tell you so. Look 50 years down the road, Jürgen, and what are we going to have with nuclear energy? To me, as a race, as an intelligent species, I think the first thing we should do universally is eliminate nuclear power off the face of the earth. Figure out some way to dispose of everything that we've created and stop it immediately, because eventually it will kill everything on the planet Earth. And I honestly believe that. Isn't that great stuff? You can't unleash the sun on the planet or you're going to not expect to get burned. And eventually it will burn, but we won't get into that subject today. But it's something that absolutely drives me insane, that we have so many other ways that we can generate power, and yet we're still building and running nuclear power plants. My God, just look at Fukushima. Is doing to the Pacific Ocean, folks. Yeah. If you aren't aware of what's going on out there right now, there is a guy that's reporting on it regularly, and I've checked into Dana lately, and his information, Dana Dunford, that shows on Fukushima on a regular basis, folks, tune in, because I've vetted a lot of the things that he's been saying lately, and they're absolutely true about massive die-offs of whales we're seeing in the ocean right now.
Yeah.
Massive die-offs. And it's not being reported, Jürgen. It's not being reported.
Yeah, I saw the big stranding there was there this past week.
Yeah, and it's happening with more and more frequency all the time.
Yeah.
Well, what's happening to the animals, Jürgen? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, these are questions that really we need to talk about right now, because you know and I know that the ocean is the source of all life on this planet. And we don't get another one if we destroy this one.
And the irony, we're
doing a good job, buddy, of destroying it. Go ahead.
You look at the irony of all these politicians that fly to France every year for this global climate thing, and in April of next year, it'll be 10 years that they let Fukushima just run wild and pour radiation into the ocean, killing all kinds of animals. So
I hate it.
Right?
And they don't have a solution to it.
No.
People don't realize this, Jürgen, but Fukushima is not getting better.
It isn't getting worse
by the day. They don't know. The media is totally silent on this. This should be the conversation of all governments right now around the planet solving this problem. But why? Why are they letting this go on when it's a direct threat to the ocean? Do they have some kind of super plan? I mean, do they have 150,000 years worth of food put away? Because, you know, we kill the ocean, it's going to be 10, 15,000 years before life comes back, if it ever does. I mean, we're looking at destroying the food chain right to the very bottom microorganisms that run the world. I mean, the world was never designed to deal with nuclear power, and here we are. And the problems that are coming now, it just doesn't make any sense to me at all. Especially, like I said, we have other ways to generate power. We don't need nuclear energy, and that has to go if we have any hope for life on this planet in the future, in my opinion, period. And that's all I'll say about that. That was my nuclear rant for the day. We have the solution to the problem. You know what it is? It's called the cannabis plant, Jürgen. And I won't get into that one today, but when I say that, I don't think I've ever said a more true thing in my life, Jürgen, that plant, believe it or not, if we embraced it fully worldwide in our society, we might have a chance. But outside of that, I think if we continue to go down this road with the use of nuclear power, that it's only a matter of time before it really bites us in the butt. And one of the reasons I say that too, Jürgen, is because I look at what's going on with seismic activity around the planet right now, that we're seeing major increases in the size of earthquakes and the frequency. And that's not a joke. If you go look at the numbers, folks, if you look at the numbers for this year compared to the last couple of years, you'll see a major increase in activity and a major increase in size. And it's only a matter of time, Jürgen, before one of these major events happens really close to these nuclear power plants that, in our wisdom, we have planted really close to these major fault lines, telling Mother Nature that she can no longer do what she's been doing for the last 150,000 million years, that those plates cannot move anymore because we have built nuclear power plants here now. But one of these days, you're going to see a major movement in North America, either on San Madre or the Cascadia, and all of a sudden, the whole world will be going, hey, we've got to get rid of nuclear power. But it might be too late at that point, my friend. That's what we're dealing with nuclear energy. We've got to get rid of that, number one. But that's the subject for another day. We're down to about 8 minutes here, even, so I won't get into that because I'll get going for an hour. And you won't stop me.
But it was a huge insanity. You talk about that, and there was just a huge fissure opened up in Mexico. I don't know if you saw that story or not.
I saw
it. Just huge, and I think it's a few kilometers long, and I'm not sure how wide it is. Just after, in I think June or July of this past summer, there was a huge one, a big crack opened up in the earth in Arizona that was, I don't know, a couple of hundred miles long.
Yeah, I saw that one in Africa also.
Yeah.
They're experiencing major separation of land.
Yeah.
But, you know, the earth has been doing this for hundreds of thousands of years. You know, one time the earth was all one solid mass of land. If you look at North America and
that's right.
South America and look at Africa, and if you put them together, they're a perfect fit for a jigsaw puzzle. You know,
fit like a glove.
You know, they fit together. So at one time they were a single land mass, and over hundreds of millions of years they separated, and that will never stop. But the fact now is that nuclear power is the one thing that I get talking about, it, and it really drives me insane, because we have built so many nuclear power plants in direct striking range of major fault lines that are going to create 8 and 9 magnitude earthquakes in the future. In ultimate wisdom, we are building nuclear power plants close to those fault lines and telling them they can't do what they've been doing. We are going to shoot ourselves in the foot. It's only a matter of time. So I hope that the human race can wake up to that one, Jürgen. Whether they do or not, I don't know, but that, to me, is the biggest threat to human life, period. All these political parties, they will rise and fall. I mean, they always have, you know, but the Earth has always been there to sustain life, and now we're looking at the possibility of actually exterminating it on the planet, and that scares the hell out of me.
I just saw another story where a fella has a farm near a wind farm, and he's lost 88 birds in the last 6 months. The birds just, he gets up in the morning, and some of his birds are rare birds. He gets up in the morning and they're just belly up dead from the vibrations and stuff from the wind farms. Where I used to live back east, we had a major fight a few years ago to try and stop them. Doug Ford was elected. He said he was going to stop them. And then he turned around last year and said, sorry, I can't stop them because it's going to cost too much. And now they're building them there. And, I spoke to some of my old neighbors. They're selling. What's happening in the region, though, is what they're finding. The real estate agent told my friend that it's a good time for you to sell because people are leaving the city in droves.
Yeah, they are. They're going to the country. That's the last thing they want. They don't want us going to the country. They want to.
No,
they want us living in big cities so we're easy to control. That's all a part of Agenda 2030. We know that, Jürgen. We see the big push just to put people in the cities, and it's good to see the kickback. Go ahead.
That's right. So what she's saying is that, you know, if you do have a rural property, there's a good opportunity for you to possibly make a few bucks now, because people in the city are certainly tired of that kind of control, and there's people waking up realizing that, hey, gosh, I'm stuck here. If I'm stuck here, they can really come and get me easily, right?
Yeah, well, that's said that part of Agenda 2030 is to congregate population in high density areas so that we're easy to control. I mean, if people in the city, they don't have a choice of where they go to get their food. They have to go to the supermarkets. Boy, all of a sudden, if the food situation dried up, what kind of chaos would you have in society?
Watch your time, Barry.
Yeah, we're down to 5 minutes here. The hour always goes fast when I'm talking with you.
Boy, you're ever fast.
Yeah, I know. I had things written down here that I even got to talk to you about today, believe it or not. But we can do that on another show. I'm sure you'll join me again sometime in the
Absolutely.
Future. But yeah, I'm going to give you a couple minutes to share your last thoughts there with people, Jürgen, and where they can reach you, and maybe your last words of advice for the day.
Okay, well, you can reach me in Parler right now. I set up an account. It's under Volrath House if you want to see me there. Also on Facebook, I have my Against the Grain News You're Not Supposed to Know. You can reach me there. On Twitter, I'm at Patriot underscore Prairie, Prairie Patriot on Twitter. I guess I'd like to leave your audience with this, if I may. We're certainly living in harrowing days. There is no question. It is incumbent upon all of us to pay attention, see what's going on around us, take the information that we have, bring it within ourselves, and deeply disseminate the information to make sure that you're getting the truth. It is very, very clear that the misinformation is what's driving the fear. We need to disseminate ourselves from the misinformation. We have to elevate our consciousness, get out of this fear paradigm that we're in, and get into a happier place. I try to sing and dance every night. We put on music, get into a happy place. Enjoy the people you love. They're telling you not to hug, then you go and hug. I'm totally against all of those kind of mandates that would say you can't go visit your elderly loved one. We're in a situation now where people are dying in these homes without their loved ones being able to visit. That has to stop. I think it will stop if we can consciously raise the consciousness of all of us by being positive, by saying God wins in the end. They will not take us. They will not put us down. We will not allow them to take our civil liberties. And it's time for all of us to stand up righteously, because we know it's the right thing to do. This is not a pandemic. The numbers don't back it up. Everybody should know it by now. And hopefully more people will awaken to the realization that there is a great awakening happening and join the happy train. That's it. Right? It's a happy train that we're on. We feel good because we know the truth. The truth is we're being played. Get out of the play, get out of the fear paradigm. You'll feel a lot better about yourself and about the world around you.
Amen.
Thanks a lot for this, Barry.
Always a pleasure talking with you, Jurgen, and I look forward to our next conversation, my friend. And you're right. You know, fear is the virus, folks. And, you know, we are right now in times that we talked about this years ago, that these times were coming.
Yeah.
That there was going to come a time in society where things were going to be completely turned upside down. And we find ourselves now in that particular time. And it's utmost importance that we all discern and dissect every bit of information that is given to us, that we learn to think rationally and to think for ourselves and don't believe anything they tell you. That if this goes on, folks, and I'm not a fear-mongering type of person. I am. I really hate that term. I've never considered myself to be a fear-mongering type of guy, but I can honestly tell you that if we don't stop this, what I see coming, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemies, that we have to win this battle and that good times will come with the more effort that we put into stopping this madness. Thanks for joining me, guys, this week. Always a pleasure, and I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Thanks to Jurgen for coming in and Roger Landry, the first hour. I've enjoyed these conversations immensely. See you next week. Bye for now. Oh, wait, before I go, thank you to Steve Roberts for producing my shows. I almost forgot, guys. Thanks, Steve, for doing what you do. Have a great week, guys.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.